Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy Graby, a Dame of Malta from the New Jersey area, a member of the Board of Counselors, and a member of the Spirituality Committee. Thank you for joining us this morning for our September Spiritual Outreach Call. We are grateful to have Father Joseph Johnson, a magistral chaplain from Minnesota, who will be speaking to us about St. Joseph the Worker, as we have just celebrated Labor Day. Father Joseph Johnson currently serves as rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul in Minnesota and area chaplain for Minnesota. He became a chaplain of the American Association of the Order of Malta in 2004. He has participated in the International Lord's Pilgrimage of the Sick many times. He served as our pilgrimage's coordinator of chaplains for the past 2 years, and he has also been part of the Tri-Association pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, Wisconsin, several times. Over the years, Father Joseph has been invited to speak about the Order of Malta's charism to members and around the country and at leadership meetings. He has coordinated past chaplain convocations of the American Association and made various presentations about the Order's spirituality. Good morning, Father Johnson.
Good morning, Nancy, and to everyone, thank you. Happy to be with you and to be able to speak about St. Joseph. As I'm named Joseph, he's my patron saint, so I'm rather fond of him. And it's also one of those wonderful things where St. Joseph can't contradict anything I say, because I can talk about St. Joseph and you can't cite anything from him to contradict me, because we don't have a single word from St. Joseph recorded in the Bible. Kind of a strange thing to, when you think about such a major figure right there at the heart of the mystery of the Incarnation, and yet not a single word spoken. So I think that's our starting point, is that sometimes as we engage in whatever work is ours, whether that is the work of family life, whether that's work out in the corporate world, whether it's our service projects, sometimes we can grumble. Sometimes we can complain and all of this. Now, if there's someone that had a right to grumble, it would be St. Joseph. He had a great idea about what life was going to look like. He was engaged to the most beautiful woman in the world, and all of a sudden, everything goes sideways on him. He is not going to have a natural sort of marriage with Mary. He is not going to be able to have all of these dreams come as he had thought they would be. It's more natural and could be expected of a man looking forward to marriage. But instead, God was going to do something better, something very, very different. Didn't look at all like what Joseph's plan was, but something beautiful. In fact, as the church says, God entrusted to St. Joseph his two greatest treasures, the Word made flesh, Jesus, and the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Conception. So St. Joseph became the guardian of the Redeemer, as Pope St. John Paul II beautifully wrote a letter about him. But when we think about St. Joseph as a worker, the Greek of the Gospel is technon. Usually in English, we'll translate that as carpenter, but I think probably a better way of us thinking about it would be as a craftsman. You know, a carpenter we think of with wood and nails and a hammer and all this. We're not exactly sure what type of work St. Joseph was engaged in, but a craftsman probably is a kind of a catch-all that gets closer to the idea of his role. St. Joseph was therefore, a member of ordinary society, not part of the elite, not the ruling class, or sometimes what we call the leisure class. Instead, he was a worker. In fact, when about 130 years ago, communism was rising in Europe, the popes decided to hold up St. Joseph as an example of a worker, so that we could have that sense of it's not the communists that are the champions of the working people. It's actually the gospel of Jesus Christ that champions the rights of everyone, including the workers. And so when the communists decided to put May 1st as May Day and a communist holiday for workers, in the 1950s, Pope Pius XII decided to claim that same day as a feast of St. Joseph the Worker, again, reminding us that Jesus is the one who ensures all of our rights, and most certainly not Marxist politicians. So when we get to our civil holiday of Labor Day here in the United States, obviously it has a very different origin than the communist May Day, but just as St. Joseph applies to that day of talking about labor and the worker, so St. Joseph applies to our American holiday of Labor Day. When we think about work, sometimes we can chuckle amongst ourselves and say, work is a four-letter word. Right? It's like, oh, I've got to go back to work. And maybe, you know, yesterday after the Labor Day weekend, there were a lot of people that got up groaning and moaning with exactly that sentiment. I've got to go back to work. And somehow we think about work as something that's negative and something that we wish we could avoid. But if we back up our reflections to the book of Genesis, we see that God is engaged in work. The work of creation. And as the creation of God unfolds, he entrusts to man a stewardship, or in some translations of the Bible, it's called a dominion or a mastery of that creation. And so now this is not the fruit of sin. This is not a punishment. This is rather a cooperation or a participation in God's creation. And in God's guiding of that creation. So it's a positive thing. After sin, what we're told is it's only with toil that man will produce a fruit. So work isn't the negative consequence of original sin, but toil is. That is, that our work now comes forth with great effort, that there are obstacles in that work because we have wrecked the harmony of God's creation, the beautiful way that God created all of things to work in harmony was disrupted and disordered by sin. But work itself is not something negative, but something positive. And that's something maybe we should think about, too, with regard to retirement. I know a number of our members have perhaps are able to be on this call this morning because you're free of work, because you've retired. And sometimes we think about retirement as something where we don't have to work anymore. Instead of thinking about retirement as, I now have more freedom to work in the building up of the kingdom because I don't have to work so much for making sure I have a roof over my head and food on the table. So I'm freed from the demands of earthly work by retirement, but that means I'm more available for the building up of the kingdom. And of course, our members show that so beautifully in so many of these service projects in the various areas that we have that are enabled by both people that are free from work and people that squeeze it in somehow between all of their other obligations. But to think of it not as a negative thing as opposed to leisure, which is a positive thing. There's got to be a balance between both. In fact, you know, we sometimes joke that in Genesis it speaks about God creating the world, and I'll ask our youngsters sometimes, how many days did it take God to create the world? And they'll immediately fire off seven. It's like, no, actually it was 6 days. Why are there 7 days in the week? Oh, yeah, that's right. God rested on the seventh day. No, was God tired? You know, and so we get into all of these anthropomorphisms that somehow God has just gotten all tuckered out by that work of creation in 6 days, and so he needs to prop his feet up. No, God rested on the seventh day to show us that we need rest. We do need rest. We do need leisure. But not leisure to the exclusion of work, leisure in balance with work. Now, that's the old question that we all joked about on Monday was, wait, if it's Labor Day, how come nobody's laboring? Right? that Labor Day is a holiday, is a day of rest, is to remind us of that balance that we need between work and rest. So if we only have rest and we don't freely choose things to do in our leisure time other than entertainment, other than self-indulgence, then there's a corruption of the spirit that happens. We become lazy and selfish. Certainly that's not the path to sainthood. That's not living out our baptismal call to holiness. But if we just work all the time, then that's what leads to burnout, and that also crowds out things that should be there in our lives, that rest becomes a time for prayer, a time for investing in our relationships with one another, and a time for service. Even amidst all the demands of life, when we're in the middle of our careers, when we're full speed ahead, a day of rest carves out time to make sure that the important things, the priorities of faith and family and friends, don't get crowded out. But also, if you say, oh, I don't have any time to visit the sick and the poor, I don't have any time to do this. Yes, if you're taking a day off once a week, if you're keeping the Lord's Day holy on Sunday, then in fact, you could go and visit the sick on that day. You have freedom to do that because you have carved out time away from work. So we live in a society that has flourished and blossomed because of hard work. You know, I think the American work ethic is something that is admirable, but we want to make sure that we don't glorify work so much that somehow we make the mistake of losing sight of the dignity of the human person. Work is part of our life. It's not the point of our life. You know, when I was a student in Italy for many years, we would groan and moan about how inefficient things were in Italy and how there was just never a sense of urgency to get something done. And we'd complain that's why the Italian economy, of course, why it is the way it is and all of this. But, of course, my Italian friends would push right back and they'd tease us. They'd say, well, you Americans live to work and we Italians work so that we can live. And I think there's a good corrective there for us. There's a good medicine that you and I need to make sure that we're not just engaged in work to the exclusion of these important things. And that we never make the mistake, hard to think that a capitalist society like America, we could make the same mistake as the communists, but actually you push it far enough and we do. If my life is all about work, well, that's what the communist says, that the worker is just a cog in the machine, right? And we lose that dignity of who we are as an individual, and we lose that flourishing that can only happen when we step off of that fast track and begin to slow down. And so much of what we find today is a lack of balance. Too much of this, too much of that. We bounce between opposites and the pendulum effect instead of finding a balance. So St. Joseph, even though we don't have from the scriptures detailed descriptions of what his life was like and how many hours he spent at work and how many hours he spent at home, we don't have all that, but we do know that he was, as a pious Jew, as a righteous man, the just man, the epitome of the just man that the Old Testament always speaks about, the just man. Well, Saint Joseph embodies that just man. So we know that he would have the Sabbath as a day of rest even amidst his work. So I think as we come to the conclusion of the summer, when we've hopefully all had a chance to take a little bit more leisure than usual, we've had vacation time and we've had various holidays punctuating those months. So now to think about how do I keep a spirit that has a balance to it as we dive into, for those with studies or who have students, kids at home that are still enrolled in school, you know, this is a frantic back-to-school week and all of the things going on pertaining to that. How in all of that whirlwind do we protect this balance? Because prayer is usually the first thing to go, right? And if there's one thing we know that we need, it's to make sure that we have a good prayer life. You know, that the work that we do in the world is to support our physical needs, but we have spiritual needs as well. And so we need to make sure that we have that time to nurture our spiritual needs. And there's a work to that as well. You know, I can't just plop down in a pew and say, okay, Lord, you know, take care of me, do everything that needs to be done. I've got to cooperate with God's grace. I can't be a bump on a log. There actually was a heresy centuries ago called quietism that just thought that I'm just going to sit and do nothing and God's going to do all the work. And of course, it's opposed to another heresy called Pelagianism, which is I'm going to work my way to heaven, you know, and sometimes you and I can fluctuate between those. And sometimes we can say, well, the church teaches this balance, but in the practice of everyday life, I'm not sure that Catholics know that. Sometimes people will ask, I know one great teacher asked a bunch of his college students, you know, if you were to face the Lord today, what reason would you give for why you should be admitted to heaven? And he found out that all of these Catholic students had the same basic response, which is, well, I go to Mass, or I helped a little lady across the street, or I gave some money to charity, or this, that, and other. But it's all about doing. All of the answers were about doing. And so as much as the church teaches, no, we don't work our way to heaven. Somehow, deeply ingrained in our American psyche of work, 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 and we've allowed that to trickle in and influence us. We need to be careful of that. Whereas, what is the reason why we should get to heaven? Because God loves us. If you want the exact quotation I use with my students, it's the first letter of St. John, not the Gospel of John, but the first letter of St. John, chapter 4, verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as the expiation for our sins. So again, putting the proper balance there. Even in our relationship with God, even when we do take time away from work and engage in spiritual works, sometimes we still get it wrong. I'm going to say all these prayers today. I'm going to do this for the Lord. And actually, it all begins with receiving from the Lord. And that's what Our Lady shows us so beautifully. I can't talk about St. Joseph without talking about Our Lady. Our Lady shows us a receptivity. She receives this gift, these privileges, this grace, full of grace. She receives all of that from the Lord, not for having done anything, not for having a right to it, but as a gift. And she responds with gratitude and then pushes herself into service, right? So the Annunciation comes and the Lord reveals to her all of the beauty of his plan for her. And then she gives her great prayer of the Magnificat, you know. She pushes herself into service to bring that love to those around her in the mystery of the Visitation. But it's God's work first. We can think, okay, I know I'm a pious Catholic. I know that I need to get my spiritual life in order. I know that I need to work on becoming a saint. So here's what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, we make a project timeline for it, just as if we were engaged in something at the office. But it doesn't work that way. Holiness is not my project. I need to cooperate, but it's God's work in me. He is the one who will transform me and make a saint. My job is to cooperate. Some of you might remember the funny old bumper sticker. You know, God is my co-pilot. You know, and I always used to joke and say, if God is your co-pilot, you're sitting in the wrong seat. He's supposed to be the pilot. And that's what we need to find in the work of the spiritual life. So balancing our work life in the world to create space for the spiritual work, and then to create the disposition to allow God to be the one that initiates, God the one that leads in that path of ongoing conversion, that path of transformation, and me to give my whole heart to work in cooperation with him. I'm sure that's what St. Joseph did, without grumbling, without saying, but I want it this way. No, you lead, Lord, and help me to be open to your grace within me and to cooperate fully. I hope that all of us can learn from St. Joseph and count on his intercession, call out to him often for those graces that we need in balancing all the things of our work life and allowing ourselves to be transformed in prayer and the fruits of the Spirit. God bless you.
Well, thank you so much, Father Johnson, for sharing those lovely thoughts about St. Joseph and for your time and talent in contributing to this program and for all you do for our members and for the association. Thanks to all who have joined the call. The recording will be posted to the website within the next several days. Our next call is Wednesday, October 2nd. Father David Caron, Magistral Chaplain from Southeast Florida, will speak about preparing for the World Day of the Poor. The Eucharist commits us to the poor. We look forward to everyone joining us. God bless you all and have a wonderful day. Thank you and goodbye.